Coming up on this episode of The Fake Ass, I got Megan Calloway on the show for the very first time, and we're talking about women in the fitness industry, how to keep training fun and challenging, got to keep those clients and athletes interested, right? And also rebounding from major trauma like accidents and how to come back from stuff like that. We get into a bunch of different subjects on the show. It's one of my favorite interviews this year. It's all coming up right now on The Fake Ass. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and on the show for the very first time, someone that I've actually heard quite a bit about. She doesn't know this, I don't think, but again, highly recommended from a lot of people that I've had on the show. I've also been reading a lot of her articles and great stuff on her website at megancallowayfitness.com. It's Megan Calloway. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Like we were talking before we started recording that it is now somewhat nice here in the Boston area. So I'm very happy to have good weather.
Yeah. Unlike Vancouver, I think we set rain records, or we did actually a 61 year rain record.
Oh, that's probably nothing that, you know, is indicative of crazy things going on with our world. Probably not.
Oh no, but global warming doesn't exist. I probably shouldn't say that, but
no, we say that for the politics podcast, but
steer clear of politics today.
We will, and we're gonna end up talking about a lot of different things, but kind of a couple of things I want to hit on real quick before we get into this. First off, you know, if people haven't checked out your stuff before, they don't know your story. I always love when I get people on for the first time to kind of hear, you know, how did you get into this world, this industry of fitness? What drove you to it?
I've been an athlete my entire life. This will be my 27th year playing soccer. Grew up playing hockey, baseball, always identified as an athlete, and I always loved fitness. So for me, it was just very natural.
Hmm. So it was just like, all right, this is a moment ago. I'm going to stay. That was kind of like where I was at, like growing up is, like, I kind of like sports. I kind of like this fitness thing. Might as well like get paid to do it.
Totally. And also just feeling good. I mean, for me, I've always loved working out. Makes me feel happy. I joke it's my free therapy. So if I can do it for a living and help people feel the same way, I mean, why not?
So like today, are you mostly working with like the general population? Are you more towards athlete population or like a mixture of both?
Kind of a combo. I mean, I do awesome. Have a lot of gen pop. I do have some elite athletes, and I actually have a decent number of post-physio rehab. Mm-hmm. Just like where they need to get strong, need to learn how to move properly. So that's pretty much, I mean, those are mainly the people that I work with.
So another thing that I want to get into before we start going into some different subjects is like, this is something that has been talked quite a bit about on this show over the last, I don't know, like couple of years, maybe year or two, but like really trying to have a good discussion about women in the fitness industry, just because, you know, there are obviously pockets of the fitness industry, and the thing that I'm trying to drive as much as possible, whether it be, you know, having great people like yourself on the show, or even just kind of like when I'm at other facilities, being like, oh yeah, you know, I'm looking around, you guys got 8 coaches and they're all dudes. Like,
yeah.
Your clientele is 50% women. Like, that doesn't, the math, you know, it's not working out. So I'm kind of curious, like, you know, your thoughts right now on, like, you know, women in the fitness industry, how we can continue to, you know, move forward and progress on getting awesome women to you know, join us in this world of fitness.
Well, funny you say that. Actually, I work at a fantastic gym. All of the coaches are men. Aside from me, they're all males. I mean, I love them all. We get along so well and they're
totally.
So respectful.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
It's just
yeah.
me. And at times I'm like, it would be nice to have other females around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, probably the best thing, I would just keep promoting the good info, keep spreading the names of the good females. And there was an article that came out yesterday. I ended up sharing it. I thought about it a lot. It was the one that Lee Boyce wrote. I don't know if you saw that one.
No. What was it about?
It kind of was talking about how a lot of the people who are popular in the fitness industry, I cannot remember the title of the article, but just kind of like the Insta stars, they make themselves famous by working out in little to no clothes.
Sure. Yep.
It was pretty long. And I mean, I did share it, but then I thought about it. And the key is we need to talk about how we can fix this rather than just complaining about it. We really do need to provide a solution.
Totally. Yeah. What are your ideas on possible solutions? And I think this is always weird territory to get into, especially as myself talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think that is something that if you are on Instagram, if you follow social media stuff, there are women and men out there, to be fair, that, a lot of their coverage on Instagram is just, training, with their shirts off or something like that.
Yes.
or whatever. But I don't think it's exclusive to women whatsoever.
Oh, it's totally both.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on, possible solutions, especially in terms of mentorship for women that could be, getting out of college, getting into this industry and seeing that as a potential role model, what are the possible solutions in your mind that you're thinking of?
I mean, it is tough just because a lot of these people are extremely popular and they're profiting financially. So, I mean, a young kid who's coming out of school, they see that and they think, oh, well, maybe I do need to do that to become or to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily the most popular, but what I try to do, I just try to keep spreading empowering information, stuff that's actually educational, relevant. I try to be as authentic as I can. And I know so many other males and females are the same way. And I know it probably hurts me, but I'm not willing to play the game to be popular. So if more people were to do that, I also think it is important that we continue to share good information. I mean, a lot of people, it seems, are not willing to share anything other than their own information. I want to share as much as I can. It doesn't matter if it's mine or somebody else's. I just want to keep helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also important.
So it's good to be I think this is probably good advice for anyone in the industry is to not be afraid to, share other information that you think is fantastic that is not your own.
Exactly. I mean, maybe a lot of people feel threatened by it, or maybe it'll cost them business. It's not it won't cost you business, I don't think.
Well, maybe it's a potential factor where people feel they need to always have unique thoughts on
yeah.
Training and stuff like that, and try to carve out their own niche. And when they just say go check out Eric Cressy's deadlift article, they're like, oh, well, how would I write a deadlift article, do it a little bit differently so I can, have something that is unique content, even though, if you want to know about deadlifting, off the top of my head, Eric Cressy is probably at the top.
Yeah. I mean, some people know more. That's where I want to send people to, send them that way.
What else in kind of when we talk about this, the state of the industry with, again, trying to really promote, awesome women that are becoming fantastic coaches, fantastic, trainers. What other advice would you kind of give them to kind of nurture them and help them become the leaders that I believe, this industry really needs right now? Because again, I've talked about this on the show, I've talked about it with other people off the air and stuff, but still to this point, you're getting to a lot of workshops and you're seeing, six or seven speakers. If they're not all dudes, it's all dudes and one woman maybe.
Yeah.
Again, the ratios still aren't working out.
No. I'm just trying to think. Probably one thing for me that's really important, I love working out. I'm so passionate about it. I love the lifestyle. It's fun. I almost feel like I'm playing and it makes me free.
Mm.
I think it's so important to help other people feel that way and spread information that allows people to feel that way. Especially it's worse for women. The society, the fitness industry, we're constantly being told we need to be less, we need to lose weight, we need to diet, shrink, tone. Men, it's largely about improving their performance, gaining muscle, so making themselves more. So I think we also, I try to focus on performance versus aesthetics, even though, if you have aesthetic goals, that's totally fine. But I kind of like to focus more on the performance and then allow the aesthetics almost come with it. If you do the right thing, you will be happy with the way you look. You will feel empowered versus just focusing on shrinking and sorry, I didn't say that very well, but that's kind of what I mean.
No, I got you. that there does seem to be, at least in our kind of bubble of the industry, there does seem to be a trend towards, you know, more promotion of that. Like, even if it was, you know, we're talking about New Rules of Lifting for women. Like, I mean, that was one of the first, you know, books, at least for myself, where I'm like, oh yeah, they're kind of making an awesome strength training book, like Alan Cosgrove and Lou Schuller, and I believe Cassandra Forsyth was also a part of that book. You know, putting together awesome programs that are basically there for, yeah, you know, we're going to get leaner, if you want to use that term, but at the same time, you're also going to get stronger. You're going to become more powerful, and you almost need to just, you know, get some women through the door. And so, like, it's not all about, like you said, less. It is much more about like growth and building on top of that and be like, all right, well, here's a fat loss program. Trust me, just follow it. You will quote unquote lose fat. But at the same time, you're also going to see that you're not going to get bulky, but you'll also get stronger. And hell, like, maybe at the end of this 12-week, you know, program, you're going to be able to knock out some chin-ups. How awesome is that?
Empowering. That's the whole thing. You want to feel empowered. You want to find the joy. And like I said, I like to feel like I'm playing. When I work out, I often feel like I'm playing. I feel like I'm totally free.
What does that look like? You just,
I mean, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the stuff that I post. Like, I do
post. A little bit. I was poking around a little bit.
So, I mean, most of what I do, it is very basic, but that allows me to do like the cool stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw the one where I was doing that side plank against the wall with the barbell.
Right, right.
So stuff like that, if you train a certain way, master the basics, the sky is the limit. And you can have fun.
So are you, like, if you're thinking about this in terms of, like, putting together, you know, a strength training program, are you more on the end of, like, all right, well, let's kind of not, like, take a, you know, a whiteboard and, like, write out today's program and, like, we'll kind of go from there. We got some foundation to it, but at the same time, let's just, like, all right, like, give me two things that would just be, like, really fun to do and let's throw them in there as well. Or is it looking something like a, whether it be like metabolic training or CrossFit, where, you know, there is some like camaraderie and some like competition to it. Is that the fun part for you?
I mean, it depends on the individual. Are you talking more about my own training or my clients?
Both.
For me, my kind of fun, I mean, it depends. Like, I love climbing ropes. I love kind of actually I just tried walking handstands for the first time ever and I could do it.
Holy shit. Sorry.
I shocked the crap out of myself. I had no clue. And I went into the gym when it was a Sunday. Nobody was there just because I'm like, okay, well, if I totally bail, nobody's there to see me. And I surprised myself and walked from one end of the gym to the other, not with the best form, but I did not fall. Oh, it was crazy. So, I mean, just kind of trying new cool things. It might be just really, really pushing myself during a workout, like just doing the conditioning, sprinting, pushing myself, like I don't really do this necessarily with all my clients, but pushing myself just to the point where I feel like I might throw up without. And to me, like, I know that sounds totally masochistic, but it's kind of can be fun. And it also helps with my soccer.
Oh, so are you still playing today? You still playing regularly?
Yeah, actually this past weekend, we just qualified for nationals.
Fantastic.
And funny enough, actually, it was a live stream, and then Lee Peel and her two friends or her two roommates, Katie and Terry, they ended up watching it live, which is pretty cool.
What's up,
Lee? And I got to my phone. I got to my phone after the game, and I had just like a play-by-play message, like, or a message. It was all like play-by-play stuff, which was pretty cool.
So when you're kind of putting these programs together, again, whether it be for yourself or whether it be for clients out there, are you using like a lot of like self-limiting exercises, like things that allow you to go, all right, we're just going to do as many reps as possible, but like it's kind of not necessarily to failure, but, you know, to the point where like, all right, you know, form's kind of falling apart. Let's cut this off and let's, you know, move on to the next exercise.
Yeah, definitely form. I mean, form fails, they're done. If it's conditioning, it's stuff where it does not, or it's not very technical. So if they get tired, it's not a big deal. But for the most part, it's just about technical failure for sure. So, and then modifying. If, for example, say somebody's doing push-ups on the floor, their form breaks down, we'll elevate their hands. So you just kind of adapt on the fly.
So walk me back a little bit. So like, let's say you have that general population client. You usually have something like an hour-long session with them. What does that look like for you from like the start of the session to the end for that general population person?
So, I mean, it definitely will be different, but they'll come in, we'll do a warm up that works obviously best for that individual. for example, like, or I usually focus on some stability. We might do mobility if needed, and we do stuff that will prepare them for the workout. Then, trying to think of somebody I'm with, we'll do basic strength exercises, compound exercises. Usually at the end, I kind of focus more on the core stuff, either at the end or more at the beginning for the stability.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the end, we might just do a little bit more mobility if needed, kind of more just like a basic stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was a really shitty explanation. It totally depends on the individual, to be honest.
No, for sure. Like, let's say you do have someone that is like, is it mostly like you're like doing like some foam rolling, like you said, you know, stretch will do a little bit of like mobility stuff. And then are you kind of going right to, you know, your strength training type stuff? Are you using any kind of like power development, or how do you like to kind of mix that stuff together? And also like kind of like what kind of exercise are you utilizing? Is it just kind of like the, you know, the main movers,
main
like your deadlifts?
Movements. Yeah, just like some hip hinging, squatting, lunging, like pushing, pulling, horizontal, vertical, stuff like that. Obviously, whatever their fitness level is, modify for that individual. For the warm up, it is kind of more stability and just also preparing their body for the movements that we're going to be doing. So say we're deadlifting, we'll do some body weight hip hinges. We might even do some light band pull throughs, stuff like that, just to get them ready to go.
Mm.
And then, of course, we don't jump into the max weight. We kind of build the weight up.
Gotcha.
So that I'd also kind of include as the warm up. But it depends. And I mean, every day is different. Somebody might come in, they might have had a shitty sleep. They might be just not feeling well. So you kind of just have to modify and go from there. Or I should say adapt and go from there.
Totally. And I'm kind of curious, like, to go back to this idea, this like concept of just keeping it fun. Like, I know a lot of us, you know, in the gym when we're working with people, we tend to get really structured with this stuff. We kind of like, we put together whatever for like 4 week phases, and you're kind of sticking to the script quite a bit. What suggestions would you have for people who are like, oh yeah, like you can kind of see this person needs a little bit of fun, you know, in their workout today or their training session. What are you putting in there to be kind of like in those, you know, fun categories?
Well, I think with a lot of people achieving their goals and noticing progress, that's fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of working on this massive pull-up program. It's actually, funny enough, it's over 100 pages long.
Wow.
I'm going to be releasing it in the next while. It's huge. So I love pull-ups. I'm so passionate about them. I don't know I do so many different variations. Some are crazy. Some are quite basic. But most of my clients, they have the goal of wanting to be able to do at least one pull-up.
Hmm.
So for them, we've really been working on that, the different regressions. I have a female who's actually in her 70s, and she still has the goal of wanting to be able to do a pull-up. So we've been doing scapula pull-ups. We've been just doing concentric hangs. And for her, that's really fun. I mean, it's empowering, and it's also leading her closer to that goal.
So let's talk about chin-ups for a little bit, because again, this is like one of those things where we're always looking for, you know, a newer way, or I should say a better way to, you know, progress this stuff, especially when we're working with a, you know, someone that isn't able to do a body weight pull up on day one. What are your strategies to kind of progress to get someone to that pull up goal?
Well, I mean, I break it into different components, and the pull up is a full body exercise. So obviously, I mean, you have to master the technique, but you need the upper body strength. You need the scapular stability. You need to have lumbopelvic stability. Even having a strong lower body helps.
Hmm.
But just in terms of the actual pull-up, you could have them doing inverted pull-ups. Like, you could set up a barbell and a squat rack. And obviously, the higher it is, the more vertical they are, it will be a bit easier. The more horizontal they are, it'll be tougher. So you could do that. You can do different kind of pull-up variations on the TRX. You could do scapula pull-ups, concentric hangs, eccentrics, kind of help them focus on their grip strength, controlling their body, being able to hang. I mean, there's so many different components. And then, of course, I mean, core stability, stuff like hollow body, dead bugs. I mean, I could go on. Like, it's 100-plus pages, so it's a really, really detailed program.
So it is like, all right, all out strategy to get you to that pull up again. Like, I, you know, that's a really good point that I think a lot of people were focusing on, like, all right, well, here are our, you know, vertical pulling progressions. And like it is, it's like, all right, we're going to go from a cable pull down to, you know, band assisted chin up, eccentric chin ups, or, you know, eccentric chin ups, and kind of just focus on that stuff. But like you mentioned, I think one of the big things is that core component where you see people, especially, it's like swinging back and forth, or they do not control themselves on the way down and they get out of control. That is kind of where it falls apart. So, what do you think are some of like the common mistakes that people are making when it comes to, you know, either executing that chin up, or maybe even a better way to go about this discussion is like, you know, ways that people could do a better job of coaching the chin up for people out there?
Well, it needs to be coached as a full body exercise, because it totally is.
Mm.
I think a lot of people, they make the mistake of having their clients doing assisted pull-ups on the machine, which totally. Once again, you need no core, it doesn't require any lumbopelvic stability. You can really, really cheat. And even with the band, I mean, I do use that on occasion, but it also provides help at the wrong time.
Totally. Yep.
So, I mean, I would use the band minimal resistance, still force the person to really, really focus on maintaining the full body tension. But that would just be a tiny component of the program. People need to have lumbopelvic stability. Mm. Many people have really, really weak scapula stabilizers, so they cannot control themselves. I mean, both up and down. So that's part of it. And also, people kind of go from A to Z. They don't progress. And so, I mean, my plan, like, I don't want to keep pushing my plan, but it's four phases, very detailed. I did include a fifth bonus phase, kind of all the cool exercises that you can possibly do once you're actually able to perform the pull-up. Or chin up. I use both, but trying to think. I mean, the key is training it as a full body exercise.
Totally.
Versus just focusing on upper body pulling.
Yeah. And I think that like is, you know, you brought up the, like the machine assisted chin ups. And I think like the problem that a lot of people who use that, they're using it a lot of times just because they don't have a coach to help them, you know, whether it be, you know, do the band assisted stuff, even though it's not the perfect solution to deload themselves, or just not like comfortable enough to, you know, go to where like the normal pull up bars, or maybe their gym doesn't even have bands. It could be like a lot of a factor. So it's like, I mean, it's not like the worst thing in the world to do, but there are definitely better, like you said, better solutions out there for that. One of the things that we've messed around with a lot, I forget who we took this from at MBSC, was, you know, if you do have a rack that has J hooks in it, you can put a band around the J hook so you can actually stand on the band. So you get, you know, a more, what's the word? You're actually getting more assistance from the whole exercise instead of like just at the bottom, because
totally,
especially when we work with, like, you know, myself working with like a lot of middle school kids, or even just people that are shorter, is that depending on the size of the band, if you don't put a knot in the bottom, like the band is actually like loose at the top and giving zero assistance, where, like you said, that a lot of people just have a problem, not from the bottom, but they have the problem like the last 2 inches up to the bar.
Exactly. That's key. I mean, even the bands and the machine, it's fine for people who don't really have the goal of being able to do an unassisted pull-up or more than one. And it's good for volume, but it's not necessarily going to help them be able to actually do the proper pull-up.
Well, what are your thoughts on doing some like higher volume stuff, whether it be, you know, with some sort of assistance, or like a lat pull down or something like that? Is there, you know, a place in like trying to get to that first chin up, just having a bunch of volume in there too for those pulling exercises?
I mean, it can help. It'll help improve upper body strength. So, I mean, there's definitely nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of people, they only do that, and that's where they go wrong.
Gotcha. So we got to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and I was even just going to say, like, for example, I made a post today and it was so simple. It just said hands elevated push-ups, and it was like better than push-ups from the knees. And pretty much everybody agreed. But then you have the odd person who, I guess they must do push-ups from the knees, so they didn't necessarily like that. But for the most part, if people want to do a proper push-up from the feet, going from the knees is not going to help you get there. Like, it's just not. I mean, you don't have to stabilize your body.
Totally.
It's a different movement. So, I mean, I just think that in order to train for a pull-up, for a push-up, you want to train it as specifically as you can, even if you're doing regressed exercises.
Yeah, that's a super good point, is that like you always want to try to mimic the movement that you're trying to progress as much as possible. And then, like, you know, thanks to, I didn't really do, I think geography was probably the, or geometry, I should say, even worse. It's like geometry was probably like my worst math course in high school.
Those
protractors and compasses and all that stuff, not for me. But, you know, in the weight room, like that can be to a huge advantage when it comes to, you know, push-ups that we're talking about training, you know, that obese client that needs to elevate their elbows when they're doing a plank. You don't want to necessarily shorten the plank. You just want to make sure that you can decrease the load of the movement that they're on in that point. So that's
totally.
That's a super good point to bring up. Trying to think, like there are a couple other things that I wanted to jump into. I thought it was really fascinating. Like we were again corresponding a little bit through email that you actually went through like a really rough car accident. Tell me about that. Tell me about that story and just, you know, what kind of bouncing back from that took.
Well, it's actually funny because the car accident itself, it was bad and I wrote my car off. I was driving a friend of mine, ended up blowing her knee out playing basketball. There was a huge snowstorm and I had all season tires and I was going to go get her at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I was driving. Luckily, I was going a little under the speed limit. I mean, I was still going 60 kilometers an hour, so not miles.
This is in the tundra of Vancouver, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Funny enough, it rarely snows here, but we had the worst year for snow this year anyway.
Mm.
So this was when I was 28. I'm 36 now. And lost control of the car, rode it off, walked away with no injuries, no pain, nothing. But over the course of the next, like the few months after that, I started getting weird stuff like Achilles tendonitis. My hips started hurting. And then eventually it was just like full body stiffness from my head to my heels.
What?
It was like the weirdest feeling. And then one thing that was so strange, I just started getting like random weakness in my legs. Like I could barely, like it just like really, really weird weakness that would come and go. Went to a physio who knew nothing, sent me to a chiro, and I was at a chiro 3 days a week. Nothing was getting done. I was like a lifer patient. I was still playing soccer the entire time.
Of course.
From there, I basically bounced because I was still playing well. And I mean, I was taking, this is horrible, I was taking up to 8 ibuprofens before a game just to get through. It was horrible. 3 years of that. And then eventually, I mean, it kind of was a blessing. My team ended up folding and it was my excuse to finally just be like, okay, I need to sort this out. I need to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I still 2 more years, not knowing what was going on, being told I had so many different issues. I could barely function. I was still working, but felt like a total fraud. And I finally found a physio who was able to help me. And from the car accident, when the car hit, I leaned as far across as I could to avoid the impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it hit and my body was totally twisted, my ribs ended up just being severely misaligned. And for 5 years, nobody caught that. They just kept telling me, oh, like your back, your SI joint. Every single joint from my feet to my neck had issue, like it was, or hurt or something. So he, within 2 sessions, had me sorted out, taught me what to do on my own. I had to do this kind of weird, it's called rib stacking, just kind of realign my ribs, train my body to move properly. I had to relearn everything. And then from there, I just started from scratch, applied what I knew, did a lot of research, I followed a lot of Stu McGill's work, him and just like a lot of the other really, really good people in the industry, and just kind of rebuilt.
Can't get much better than Stu. I mean, if you're talking about low back stuff, and again, like with rib stuff, like we're looking at a lot of, you know, Postural Restoration Institute stuff as well. But yeah, that's a hell of a resource to have.
And it was just honestly like relearning the fundamentals, getting stronger. And then eventually, like, I didn't think I'd be able to play soccer again. And at the time I did not care, just because I was under so much stress. And I spent over $20,000 during these 5 years just trying to find somebody who could help me. And I was not going to stop until I did. So finally, year 6, I believe. I can't remember if it was, wait a second, this is my 3rd year back. So I finally trusted that I would be able to play again, wouldn't hurt myself, just because I was so used to everything going wrong because it had over those 5 years. Started playing again. I was able to play probably better than I have. I mean, my body felt amazing. I was in much better shape. And we ended up making, I mean, we've qualified for nationals 3 years in a row, won it our first year, unfortunately came second last year, but we just qualified again. So it's been amazing.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's not an easy journey to go on. I'm guessing it was somewhat frustrating at the time, or do you kind of like what, I mean, obviously you can take a lot of that history with you when it comes to working with other athletes, especially those coming, you know, off of, you know, whether it be surgery or post-injury, you know, rehab stuff.
Yeah. Or even just people not moving quite as well as they could be, or not being as strong. And just during the 5 years, it was tough. I mean, I was really, really depressed. Soccer was my life, or at least a huge part of it. Had to stop that. Lost my identity as an athlete. I just felt like a fraud at work. I mean, it was not the best 5 years. So coming back, not even just soccer, but just finally feeling healthy again and being able to work out and have fun, best feeling ever. So that's also, for me, a huge part of what I do professionally, is just help people feel good. And so many people I work with at the start don't. So that's also a huge passion of mine and a huge mission of mine. Just help people feel good again.
Yeah, that's something to highlight for a second, because, you know, on so many of these shows, and I love doing it, and they're totally great discussions to have. We're talking about, you know, how to reach this goal, and, like, you know, literally the thing that you can do after one session. And maybe it's not, like, maybe the next day they'll be, you know, have a little bit of DOMS or something like that. But, like, in the first 2 weeks, you can have, like, a severe change in someone's quality of life through, you know, strength training, or just, you know, getting them through a warm-up a couple days a week. Like, that kind of impact is something that is really special for what we do in this industry. And it's, like, it's something that you only really realize if you do get into this industry as a personal trainer or as a strength coach, and you're able to kind of see that impact when someone comes in and says, oh yeah, like, this is the first time that I got out of bed in the morning and I didn't have low back pain this morning. And, like,
yeah. Oh, it's huge. I mean, I have a client, I worked with her today, she's in her 60s. She was told, I mean, her husband, who is also her age, he had a double hip replacement surgery. And I mean, I honestly do think it was largely preventable, but a lot of people, they're not strong. They don't move well, wear and tear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's too late. We got her stronger, got her moving better, and she feels fantastic. So, I mean, even just something like that is so rewarding for me. Clients are so grateful. It's just, it's amazing.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think this is, you know, something that, again, I love to hit on with a lot of people, but, you know, what is really, like, fueling your brain right now? Like, what are the things that you're, like, really fascinated to continue to dig deeper into and really, I guess that is, like, fascinating you in this industry and with what you do?
I mean, definitely learn more of the technical aspects, just can keep learning, improving. That always interests me. But even just trying to figure out how to get through to people, to make them see that working out should be fun, it should be empowering, it's not just about focusing on your appearance. And I think because, I mean, social media, magazines, TV, the focus is always on looks. It is very hard to get through to some people. So I think for me, probably figuring out how I can do a better job of letting people see that there's so much more to working out than just that. I think that's part of it. And then also continuing to just spread the good information, and just like what we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But mainly, I mean, honestly, just keep learning and getting better every single day.
That's what we should all be doing. And that's what everyone is doing by tuning into this show. I hope that's what's happening. I hope that's the outcome of it. You get a little bit better every single time you listen.
And learn how to market myself better, because I am definitely trying to grow my online presence. And I have always been, for the most part, I've always coached in person. I kind of rely on my content, but my marketing is very poor. So I'm definitely trying to learn more how to market myself.
Yeah, that's absolutely a struggle, especially, it's not only that, like, finding, you know, a better way to do it, but finding the way that, you know, you are cool with, because you can kind of go in two drastically different directions with that. You could go all out full on, you know, you got your business coach that is giving you a bunch of templates and stuff like that. And like, this is the stuff that has been shown to, you know, you end your pricing with a 97 instead of a 99 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, you don't want to be, you know, that person that is arguing on the internet. And like, I know some people, I love you folks, but like, don't just say like, oh, well, you know what? I don't need a website. I'm not going to sell anything. Like, everything is going to be free. And like, I'm just going to be angry that I'm, you know, making $45,000 a year as a personal trainer. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, you can be
no,
like really, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like, you can be someone that is successful in this industry and have incredibly high standards by which you do it. And that's like it's, it seems like obvious, but like, don't overthink this stuff. Like, just do it the right way. And, you know, you might not be that millionaire strength coach overnight, but you know, if you build up a great reputation, you have, you know, the right network, trust me, it works out. Look at me. Like, I look at how bad I am at selling this, you know, show to people. Like, I don't do any advertising. But you know, what I'm saying is like, you know, it's like, I guess like say a lot, like, you know, it's 11 years of not doing much on the business end of things and just hoping like people like it enough to say like, hey, go to patreon.com/thefitcast. And if you do it, I'm going to give you a bunch of extra stuff too.
Yeah.
So hopefully that works out.
I mean, marketing is tough. And for me, I just want to keep being authentic and I want to have a good reputation. And I know certain people, I mean, for some people like to say or make outrageous claims. I mean, because bad publicity is still publicity. So a lot of people go that route as well. And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. And I mean, some people, if it's what makes you comfortable or if it's what you like doing, fair enough. But a lot of people like work out in little to no clothes, makes them popular. Personally, I mean, I'm not comfortable doing that, so I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe in having a good reputation, being authentic, and trying to educate and empower.
Totally. Totally agree. And I love
that's
like
me anyway.
No, absolutely. And I love that we're at the point where like, you know, a lot of business coaches are saying like their number one thing is like, just be authentic. It's like, no shit. Come on. Like,
seriously, best thing I ever did was being totally authentic and just not caring anymore.
Yeah. No, you don't need, huge. You don't need a million person audience. You just need like, you know, the audience that likes what you're doing and, you know, appreciates your work. And that's,
It's like a loyal audience.
Yeah. And that's why our show does not have ads for Casper mattresses or anything like
exactly.
that. But we do have ads from people like Copter Labs. I don't think they're sponsoring this episode. They might be. But if they are, go check out copterlabs.com. It's a better way to get someone to make an awesome website for you. Sorry, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately. So, you know what I love about this, Megan, is I think like what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this up here. We're going to make it a super tight 40 minutes. Because I want to do more like tighter, just like kind of have some awesome little chats and then we can save the rest for the next time. And again, the audience can go check out Megan at MeganCallawayFitness.com. Are you making any trips to any kind of like summits this summer? Do you got any travel plans set up?
I was just at the Girls Gone Strong conference in Seattle.
Oh, awesome.
It was fun. It was really fun. So I was just there I believe it was just over a month ago.
I've heard nothing but incredibly positive stuff about that. And I got to talk with Molly last week for the Fitcast Focus. And I mean, again, like I look at organizations that are just like being authentic and being incredible. It's Molly and the rest of the incredible team at Girls Gone Strong.
Oh yeah. They're fantastic. So I have that or had that. I have in September, our nationals aren't until September. So Edmonton.
Nice.
I mean, it's not the most exciting place, but at least it's a short flight.
Hey, they used to have
Edmonton,
a hockey team.
Oh, and they did well this year too.
Oh, they still have a hockey team.
The Edmonton Oilers. They
oh,
did
they're
amazing.
Still around? I thought the Oilers went somewhere else. I thought they became the Predators or something. I don't follow hockey. I follow the NBA, the National Basketball Association, the most unpopular sport in our country. That's what I watch.
Oh, I love it. Minus the fourth quarter where it's a timeout every 2 seconds.
Well, you know, that's what
kills me.
It's not for everyone.
Love the NBA. I actually went to the draft when it was in Vancouver.
There you go. See, like they used to have a basketball team. No, the Grizzlies moved.
Yeah, they were here. I forget when they left, but I went to the draft when they drafted Bibby. It was Vince Carter.
Mike Bibby.
I love I loved Mike Bibby because I love the Arizona Wildcats.
Bibby for three all day.
Exactly. So I have Edmonton planned. I think I might go visit some friends in the States this summer. Going to go visit another friend in California, I think, over Christmas. And haven't really planned anything else.
I don't know. That sounds pretty full. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it'll be good.
That's a pretty solid lineup for travel. Well, cool. Like, where else can people check you out on the internet if they want to see some more of your stuff? Is just the website the best place for people to go?
Website's good. Facebook is definitely good. I mean, I'm probably on Facebook more than I am my website. I'd say that. I'm on Instagram, although I do post a lot of the stuff on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I just say my website and Facebook are the best two.
All right. Not on CompuServe, huh?
No.
Okay, sorry. That's an old joke. I'm getting ready to do a video game podcast later today, and there was a CompuServe piece in it because that used to be a place where people, that's how you got the internet, going CompuServe. But we're not going to do that today. We're on the regular internet, I guess. Well, Megan, thank you so much for taking time to hang out and chat and share some of the awesome stuff that you got going on. And I know this is just going to be the first of our future many conversations, but it was really cool to finally hang out and chat. And thank you so much for hanging out this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. And honestly, you were so easy and awesome to talk to.
Well, that's you know, takes 11 years, but then eventually you get good at asking people questions. So especially if you're just going through Skype, you know.
Yeah. I'm still getting used to podcasts. I mean, I think this is only my fifth, so I'm still relatively new to them, but they're awesome. They're fun to be on.
Better every single time, and that's exactly what I try to do with this show. And like I was mentioning before, if you do appreciate this show and you want to get some more of it, or you just like want to help me produce the show every single week, and go to patreon.com/theFitCast, starting at just $5 per month, you can get 2.5 hours of additional content like the FitCast Focused, which has some of your favorite guests on the show. We get focused in on one topic for 30 minutes, although it ends up being usually like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It is really fantastic. I'm really happy with how that's turned out, and it's super easy to get access to all that stuff. It takes just a couple minutes to set up at patreon.com/theFitCast. And, you know, we're recording for the future right now, so if we did have any sponsors, thank you to our sponsors as well. Well, Megan, we're going to head out. So again, thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the FitCast. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.